Song makes us appreciate our life, and we know how relatively short it is compared to how long the earth has been here, and certainly in comparison to eternity where there is no track of time at all. But it also helps us to realize the blessings of life, and certainly we're entering in a period of the year when this week we are going to observe Thanksgiving as a nation. Of course, as Christians, we recognize that God has revealed to us that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we are to be thankful for all of them. I know we'll be thankful for our health and for all of the general blessings of life this week, and many times those are some of the things that we point out in our quote-unquote Thanksgiving sermon. But this morning I'd like to take a little bit different tact, if you will, working off of the letters in the word Thanksgiving as an acronym and attaching some things that we can be thankful for. And of course, these aren't the things that you would have to attach to these letters. These are just the things that come to my mind. Maybe some other things will come to your mind, and that's okay too. But the first thing, the letter T, causes me to think of the word truth, and that God is the source of truth. You remember that Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" Philosophical question that continues to be asked even today. Asked as if it's a rhetorical question. Today you have people say, well, you have your truth and I have my truth and we just need to respect each other's truth. That's not the nature of truth. The nature of truth is not subjective. It's not subject to your interpretation or my interpretation. Truth is objective. As we see here in the statements of Jesus in John 8 and verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." We've emphasized what he says here, where he says, "If you abide in my word, you will know the truth." So if we want to know the truth about spiritual matters, we must abide, be living in the word of God. Remember that Jesus prayed on the night before he was crucified. On behalf of his apostles, he prayed to the Father, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth. Very similar to that, we find in Colossians 1 and verses 5 through 6. It says, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also come into all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also bringing forth fruit among you, since the day that you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." A lot of people talk about the grace of God, but they don't understand the grace of God because they have not looked at the revelation of that grace and the source of it as it's revealed in God's word of truth. But notice that our hope of heaven is within us because we have continued in the word of the truth of the gospel. Gospel just means good news. The bad news is that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, separation from God. The good news is that Jesus came to pay the price of our sin in his death so that we can put our life of sin to death and live with him here and hereafter. The letter H could stand for the word heaven. John 14 and verses 1 and 2, it says, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus went to prepare a place for us so that we can be with him where he is in heaven. 1 John chapter 3 in the first three verses says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." Very similar expression to the lyrics that we sang in our first song today. That we can be the children of God, that Jesus Christ can live in us. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Looking ahead to that time that we will see the Lord descend from the heavens to call the saved home to be with him, we don't know what he will look like exactly. We don't know what we will be like exactly, but we know that we will be like him. We need to be striving to be like him now, so that we'll be like him then and go home to live with him in heaven forever and ever. The word "a" in Thanksgiving could stand for the word abundance. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Jesus, using the illustration of a shepherd and his relationship to his sheep and how that the shepherd takes responsibility for the sheep, how he knows his sheep and how his sheep know him. They know his voice. They respond to it. So we are invited to claim Jesus as our shepherd so that he might claim us as his sheep belonging to him. That we hear his voice and we do his will. We go where he sends us. We eat freely of the word of life. All of that will result in us living life more abundantly here, and certainly in unbelievable abundance in heaven. I have come that you might have life more abundantly here and now, as well as hereafter. Now think about that. As you're sitting around perhaps with your family this week and you're thinking about the things that you're thankful for, count your blessings and how abundantly you have been blessed. Don't look at others who might have maybe more abundance than you do and think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have. Think about those who don't have anything near what you have. And that God has blessed you abundantly with the things that you need to survive physically, but more importantly, the things that you need to survive spiritually. You know, Jesus didn't just, and the doctrine of Christ doesn't just give us a hint of what God wants us to do. He goes to great pains to explain what he wants us to do. We noticed this morning in our adult Bible study how that Jesus and his word is so wonderful in that we noticed, like with Passover and Pentecost, and how that Passover released people from the slavery of Egypt. So Jesus, our Passover, was offered for us to release us from the slavery of sin. Pentecost was the feast of first fruits. And that's what happened there in Acts chapter 2 when the day of Pentecost was fully come. The first fruits were seen. The seed of the gospel of Christ was planted in honest and good hearts. 3,000 that day obeyed the gospel and were added to the kingdom of Christ, the church. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When they were told what to do, they had asked the question, what must we do? And the answer, the divine answer given to Peter and he gave to them was repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. 3,000 that day repented and were baptized. They acknowledged that Jesus of Nazareth was the Lord that they were to call upon. You know, when you recognize the Lord, just like Pharaoh, you remember that he asked Moses when Moses was saying that the Lord has told me to let you, to tell you to let my people go. And he responded, who is the Lord that I should do what he says? You see, people have always understood that the term Lord signifies authority to do something. And when we're talking about the Lord, and you call upon the name of the Lord, you need to first of all recognize who the Lord is. That's what Peter explained there in that first gospel sermon, who Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was. He's both Lord and Christ. And when they understood that, they asked, what shall we do? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Pilate asked. If Jesus is the Lord, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. 3,000 were baptized. It's a wonderful that God's word goes to great pain to explain to us and to unfold to us and reveal to us that this is not the mere work of men. That God had the day of Pentecost that we read about in Acts chapter 2 in his mind when he told the children of Israel to observe Pentecost. That God had the crucifixion of Jesus in mind when he told the Jews in Egypt about Passover and sprinkling the blood of that perfect male lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of their houses, the entranceway into their homes. We're to sprinkle symbolically the blood of Christ on the doorpost of our heart and let him into our heart, that he lives in us, as we just sang about. It's wonderful. I have come that you might have life more abundantly, that we might appreciate physical life, but most importantly, that we might appreciate spiritual life abundantly in Christ. The more we study God's word and rightly divide it, and it opens its wisdom to us, the more we appreciate the abundance of knowledge and security that we have in abiding in his word. I have come that you might have life more abundantly. As we continue in his word, we have a greater appreciation for life and the opportunities that are ours to live to his glory. It is a new life. As we think about Thanksgiving, we come to the letter N. We have a new life. Romans 6 and verses 3 and 4 says, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. Jesus was crucified and died to take our sins away. We are baptized to take our sins away, to be dead to sin and alive in Christ, to walk with him and to live with him. We are to be not partially dead to sin, but entirely dead to sin. to have no desire to sin and no love for sinning, but a love for God and doing His will, that we might walk in newness of life with Him. We don't know how to walk that walk separate and apart from His Word, do we? In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, how do you get into Christ? What do we see here? Baptized into Christ. If anyone is in Christ, if I'm not baptized into Christ, am I in Christ? Shake your heads this way. Nope. If you're baptized into Christ like those on the day of Pentecost for the remission of their sins, they're in Christ. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, you might have memories and regrets, and I hope you do, for the sins that you have committed. And you might think that God would never forget or forgive you of those. That's not true. This passage right here, among many, many, many others, tells us that God not only forgives, but He forgets. And you can forget them too and move on. All things have become new. Your life starts anew. Andy and Dale here are expecting their first grandchild in, actually, they're expecting it Thursday. So if the grandchild doesn't get here tonight, it's going to come here tomorrow, whether it wants to or not. Just going to go get him or her. Is it him or her? Him. Okay. So be praying for that situation, too, and for safety and for health of mother and baby, and that all will go well. New life is something that we enjoy, but that little boy is going to begin his life tomorrow, most likely. It's a wonderful thing that Jesus has called us to be born again, to start life brand new, forget the past, and move on to walk in righteousness with God and walk in the light and to experience this abundant life that is in Christ and following His Word, the joys of life, and looking and living to His glory, and one day being in the presence of His glory for an eternal day. The word K in Thanksgiving could represent the word kingdom. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 18 and 19, Jesus said, on this rock, on this foundation of truth, that Peter had said, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this foundation of truth, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And as we study the original language here, we realize that Jesus is saying, whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. In other words, Peter is going to be speaking those things that the Holy Spirit is going to be instructing him in. The Holy Spirit is going to be speaking those things that the Father and the Son have authorized him to give to Peter. I will build my church, the body of the saved. It will be through this body of the saved that we'll have entrance into the kingdom of heaven. If you're not in the church, the body of the saved, you have no hope of heaven. Christ said, I'm going to build my church. My kingdom is going to consist of the saved. And that's what we find in Acts chapter 2. When those people asked, what shall we do? They were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. 3,000 obeyed the gospel. And the Lord added to the church, His kingdom, daily, those who were being saved. Acts 2 and verse 47. So that kingdom came into existence. I'm thankful thankful, grateful to be a citizen of it. And Jesus invites you to be a citizen of it as well. We've noted verse 47 of Acts chapter 2. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, being separated from God because of our sin, and has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Notice that we are in the kingdom now. They were in the kingdom when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians. We are in the kingdom now. The kingdom of Christ, His church, is in existence now. And you can be a citizen of it now. Be conveyed into His kingdom. Kingdom of love, kingdom of light, delivered from darkness, delivered from self-centeredness and selfishness and doing our will, and delivered to doing the love of God and doing His will. The letter S in thanksgiving could represent the word salvation. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. You'd have to have a lawyer to misunderstand that. And there's people around who would help you misunderstand that. But the truth of His word is clear here. That if you want to have salvation in Christ, you must simply obey Him. Obey the gospel. Jesus said, John 14 and verse 15, If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. Do my will. Are you this morning in Christ or out of Christ? Are you obeying Him or disobeying Him? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins or not? He is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey Him. The letter G could certainly stand for the word and the name God. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, Do you despise the riches of His goodness and His forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? How many times have you heard the gospel of Christ that calls you out of your sin and out of your life of living for yourself to live an abundant life to the glory of God in the practice of righteousness? And you've not obeyed, yet you're still alive. You're still participating in every good and perfect thing that God has provided. Do you not know that the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God has been granted to you so that you might obey Him, so that you might be led to repentance? That as you reflect upon the blessings of life that you have no other explanation for other than God has made it possible. And you reflect upon the blessings of coming to understand His word as He has delivered to us. And you understand the mystery of sin and death and righteousness and life. You've come to understand that. All of those blessings are there because God is leading you to repentance. And you need to take that step. You need to turn from yourself and turn to Him and live for Him. And you might be sitting here today and say, Well, I don't know everything I need to do. Those people on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know everything they needed to do either. You know what they knew? They knew that Joel had prophesied that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when they heard that Jesus was Lord, they asked, What shall we do? And when they heard, Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, they repented, they turned from themselves, turned to Him, and were baptized for the remission of their sins. That's all they knew. And from that point on, the record says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's what you'll do. When you turn from your sins to take the hand of Christ to apply His death to your sin, you will continue steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ and continue to be in fellowship with Him. God leads us to repentance through His Word. He calls us to repentance. And we invite you to repent. Turn to Him this very day. The letter I in thanksgiving could stand for the word identification. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, it says, "You also, you Christians, also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." What is your identification? Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The foundation of the church is the truth that He is the Son of God. But that church is built up like a building might be built up, with stone by stone, piece by piece, structure by structure. You are a living stone, built up as a spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood. You drop down to verse 9, He says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Who are you? You're not like the world. Don't be enamored by the so-called heroes of the world and their accomplishments. Be enamored by Jesus Christ as your hero, your Savior, who's called you out of the darkness of sin to walk in the light of righteousness. You are a chosen generation, chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Think about yourself. Every morning when you wake up in the morning, think about the fact that you are a holy, you are called to holiness. You are chosen by God through your response to the gospel of Christ. You are special in the eyes of God. And live your day as one who is proclaiming the praises of God, walking in His marvelous light. The letter V in the word thanksgiving could represent the word victory. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 54, we read, "When this corruptible," this temporal body that we live in, "when this corruptible has put on incorruption in the day of resurrection, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." In 1 John verse 5 and verse 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, it says, "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." That we might be working the things that God would have us to be working. But we have embraced it, and we are living it, this life of faith, of hearing and doing His will. This is the victory that overcomes. How do you overcome sin? How do you overcome worldliness? Don't listen to the world. You listen to the Word of God and do His will. You hear what the world says, you hear what you want to do, what the carnal man wants to do, but you also hear what God wants you to do. And you have determined to do His will. You have determined to let His will be your will in all things. The letter I in thanksgiving could represent the word inheritance. Romans 8 and verses 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." The Holy Spirit, when you obey the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then you are heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. We know what it means to be an heir of our parents and our physical forefathers. This is talking about you are an heir of the Heavenly Father, who has riches beyond comparison and beyond our imagination. That's yours. It's for you. Just as Christ participates in those things, you will participate in those things. Something to be thankful for. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 5, reflecting upon that, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible." You might get an inheritance of an automobile or a boat or a house or something, but it's subject to corruption and decay. This is an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. You're kept by the power of God through faith. The power of God is His Word. And as we continue in it and do it, we are kept in fellowship with Him for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Be thankful. Be thankful for an incorruptible inheritance from our Heavenly Father through Christ. The word N, or the letter N in thanksgiving, could stand for no condemnation. I'm thankful, as Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. I'm thankful for that I've went from being condemned by God as an unbeliever and rebellious and walking in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, to giving my life for Christ to live to His glory. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And finally, the letter G in thanksgiving could stand for the gift of the Son of God. You know, our song that we sang here just a little bit ago talked about this gift of Christ and how that God gave the best of heaven for us. And the thought occurred to me, God could have given one of the angels or one of the other heavenly beings, it would seem like, No, He gave the very best to show us how much He loves us and cares for us and what it cost. What it cost to have a victory over sin and death. John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we've talked about this so many times. So many people say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm okay then, right? No, I'm not talking about that kind of belief. If we were talking about that kind of belief, then James says the demons believe. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The demons believe that God is God and that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of man. They believe that, but they don't serve Him. They do not revere Him. They do not love Him and keep His commandments. And if you just acknowledge that God is God and Jesus is the Son of God and every good and perfect gift comes down from God, if you acknowledge that, your faith is no better than the demons. Jesus is talking about belief in the comprehensive sense here. That if I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, I will do what He reveals, what He says. I will do His will. I will turn from myself and live for Him all the days of my life. Would you do that? I'll tell you what, if you're here today and you're out of Christ, you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, but if today you would acknowledge your belief in Christ before this group of people. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my heavenly Father. If you will repent, you will not perish. If you will be baptized, you will be saved. You will have an inheritance in heaven. You will have victory over sin. Let me tell you something. You'll do that today. You're going to be thankful today and every day hereafter for the salvation that is yours in Christ and the genuine confirmed hope that you have of living with Him here and hereafter. And we would hope that you would take advantage of the opportunity that is yours today as we stand and sing this song.